Okay, before we read the word for our adult message, which is coming out of Matthew, same chapter, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we just ask you to be with us while we read your word. Be with us as we share a message this morning surrounded by your word. Lord, open our hearts and our spirits to receive what you are trying to teach us, especially in your word, the gospel, the absolute truth that we read from today. Lord, be with us now, together in worship, as one family of faith, gathered in friendship and love. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we are reading out of Matthew 16, 13 through 20. And this is actually Peter's declaration about Jesus. And so they are in Caesarea Philippi when he's talking to the disciples. And so what I want to call your attention to, because as I read it, you may miss this point, is that he's talking to all the disciples. Jesus is talking to all the disciples. And Peter is the one that acknowledges him in a particular way. But the other disciples answer certain questions in here. So it says this, beginning with 13, and I'm in the New Living Translation. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" One question. Who do the people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, meaning the other disciples, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, Lord, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock or foundation. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." And then Jesus counseled the disciples gathered around him, and he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah at this time. This is the word of the Lord. So again, good morning and welcome back. It's good to be back with you this morning. It's good always to be here present with you this morning in worship. Fall is certainly here. Leaves are already dropping. Foliage proves that in its own beauty. This morning we have read out of the book of Matthew. And Matthew writes in chapters 14 through 17 about Jesus revealing his messiahship. So we read out of 16 this morning, but all the way from 14 to 17, Jesus does this. And then in chapter 18, we learn from Matthew about the life of the community of believers, speaking about you and me, all of us. So I do encourage you when you leave here, because this won't be a long sermon. May not be as short as Ashland's, but it certainly won't be very long, but it's going to be very pointed to you this morning. But I do encourage you to go back, take a moment, take some time tonight or tomorrow this week and read Matthew 14 through 18. Because it speaks heavily to what I'm trying to share with you this morning. But most importantly in 16, 13 through 20 drives it home. And so that's why I've settled on this particular passage. This morning we are truly focusing on what Matthew shares in 16 and Peter's declaration about Jesus Christ, his friend. And why, may you ask? Well, the reason you may ask is because if you go back and look at the title of this message, it asks you a question. It says, our church or His? Well, it's simple. But you need to hear it. You need to hear the real answer. So again, this won't be a long sermon, but it certainly will be one I hope you remember. There are many answers to the question, who is Jesus Christ? And if I ask you this morning, I would get a different answer. Not that they would be completely different, but they're going to be opinionated and different answers. But who is Jesus Christ? That's the question. But only one answer is truly correct. He is the Son of God. That's who Jesus Christ is. No beating around the bush, no excerpts on, well, He is this, but. There is no but in that answer. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah, as Peter declares Him to be. He's also, as the Messiah, He is the Savior of the world to those who accept Him. What's unique about Matthew 16 is that Jesus in this passage Himself shares this intimate knowledge with His disciples when asked by Peter when they are standing in the region of Philippi. The identity of Jesus doesn't come from man. Jesus recounts that when Peter tells Him. He tells Him, you are the Messiah. Jesus says, you learned that from God, a first-hand witness account of that. And this came from God, it didn't come from man. This truth, He goes on to say when He acknowledges Peter's faith, He goes on to say that this is foundational truth, Jesus does. It's a renewal of our spirit. And as the disciples surrounded Him, He also tried to share with them that it is the foundation of the church. Not just the foundation of their renewal of their internal spirit, it's the foundation of the church that Jesus is the Son of God. This week in Bible study, we had an award-winning conversation about discipleship and following Christ. If you are a regular student of Bible study and you weren't there, you missed it. If you're not a regular student of Bible study, I encourage you to come, be a part of it. We talked about in this particular question who we should be and who we say we are and how we spread the gospel of Christ Jesus. Now, that came later after I facilitated one question. I made 5 questions on a lesson that's probably 9 or 10 pages. For a week, I only had 5 questions for a week. By the time I got to the 3rd question, it took over the class. So I want to kind of discuss that a little bit to help you recognize where you sit today. To say that class on Thursday night was fun, for me, that was an understatement. It was a renewing experience for me as a 51-year-old man, a husband, and a father, and a follower of Jesus Christ. It was a renewing experience of me, or for me. I came out of that class that night, energized, my mind running 1,000 miles a minute. All I simply ask in the study, the elders counseled someone about their external behavior, their lifestyle. And all I ask in the class was the elders right or wrong in their counsel of this particular group of people or couple? I hoped that I would have a wave of discussion because it was a pointed question, but I actually received was a tidal wave of the Holy Spirit filling that room like no tomorrow. Now, these people downstairs or out at the chapel, wherever we find ourselves, they don't have a problem talking. Make no mistake. They have no problem talking. But if you get them on something that they're passionate about, it rolls and rolls and rolls. And I want to call you back to that question. I just asked one question, and it really only needed one answer. Were they right or were they wrong? It's a yes or no answer. So I thought. One question needing one answer, and what we received was the triune God came alive on all three sides. Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus came alive in conversations of followers who are passionate about serving the Lord. This conversation sparked the turn of this very sermon this morning. I was headed down one path. I did a 180 and came this way this morning because I could not get it out of my mind. In that class, there was a question asked. As followers of Christ, we are to share the gospel was one of the answers. Well, I think we could all agree to that. So I let that question simmer for, or answer simmer for just a second. When I going back, you know, I said, are they right or wrong? And then the answer, one of the answers was, well, as followers of Christ, you know, we're to spread the gospel. Nobody disagreed with that. So I asked a follow-up question. And I immediately followed up with a question to the group that said this: can we all agree tonight and beyond that these words, beyond the walls of this church, beyond the walls or boundaries of this community, into the world, maybe even into the universe, beyond that, can we all agree tonight, downstairs, full of people, can we all agree, followers of Christ, can we all agree that this is the Word of God and it speaks absolute truth? Could we all agree? Unanimously, the response was, well, yes. Then the same person, the same friend that attends class, hit us with these words. Stopped me in my track. Okay? She said, if that's true, let's remember we need to stop trying to change the church. As Christ followers, we need to speak the truth and allow the church to change us and those who we see and speak to. Dead silence. In a room full of smart people. Lots of answers. Boom, there it was. Drop the mic, class is over. We need to stop changing, trying to change the church to mold to our desires and start serving the church to change the lives not only of those around us, but also us. Well, there it is. Finished. Done. I still had two more questions. Believe it or not, that didn't finish the discussion. 55 minutes later, we were still on question number 3. It was exciting. But where I draw your direct parallel to this morning's scripture is one thing that's important to know is some of us feel today, and through all that discussion down there Thursday night, some of us feel then and now today, even in our experienced walk in faith, even in our experienced walk with God, all of us are likely lifelong Christians sitting here listening to a message, trying to re-energize ourselves here on Sunday morning, but we all have experienced the feeling of not being qualified. And that's exactly where some of those answers were headed down the road, to the point where we got no answers on were they right or were they wrong. Because of their understanding of personal qualification. We sometimes do not feel qualified to give advice to someone on the Word of God. Yesterday, I experienced a great conversation with two very special friends in Richmond, Virginia. One of my friends said, I don't know that I'm as strong a Christian as the two of you. I totally disagreed with that statement. I know him to be a patriarch of this church and this ministry. I know him to be a true man of faith, one who lifts us up, one who keeps the peace, one who carries God's word everywhere he goes. His intentions are always good. He's a friend of mine, and I'm honored to call him that, but more so, he's a brother in Christ, and I'm especially honored to call him that. What he called into question several days later from a Bible study conversation to a Saturday afternoon workup at an Eastern Central Presbytery meeting was, am I qualified? That's the question you ask yourself. That's the question those folks ask themselves down there. And this passage this morning that we read from Matthew directly tells you the answer. So I call your attention to those gentlemen who Jesus Christ himself called. Young, old alike, they weren't qualified either. But when he called them to service, he qualified them. You know, the student said, as Christ followers, we need to speak the truth. We're qualified to do that. Why? Because as I spoke to the young people this morning, you have the roadmap. It's right here. The absolute truth. Remember what book we read out of this morning. I call your attention to that. This book was written by a hated man, a tax collector, Matthew. He wasn't qualified either. But here he appears in Holy Scripture. And we study his account of Jesus' life. Jesus called him out of a tax collection booth and qualified him. Remember who you're reading about this morning in Scripture. Peter. This is Peter's account of Jesus being the Messiah. Throughout gospel, Peter demonstrates how God uses and loves ordinary human beings just like me and you to do extraordinarily heavenly good things here on earth. Consider all the ups and downs Peter had, and yet he is hailed as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is hailed by us as an apostle in our church's ministry today. Peter is just like me and you. If you study his life, if you study the things that he does in Scripture, he's just like me and you. Throughout the gospel, he continually bounces from spiritual highs to spiritual lows. We have them every day, you and I. But yet, we are qualified. This morning, all of the ordinary men who were following Jesus, when the question arose from Jesus about who is the Son of God, they all gave him different answers, except for Peter. These are his disciples who knew him best. And Peter says, Lord, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus turns at that very moment in Scripture and commends Peter for his insight, and he prophesies at that very moment to Peter that the church would be founded upon this very confession of faith. The church that you and I share in today, and here we are, setting in that profession of faith, standing and living on the same foundation that Peter established several thousand years ago. Just remember, it's the same Peter that was scared in the boat because of the waves that were tossed by the wind and storms. It's the same Peter that walked on water with Christ Jesus, and yet when he took his focus off of him, he began to drown. And who lifted him up? Jesus. A spiritual high, a spiritual low. A common man, yet qualified. It's the same Peter that Jesus took to the mountaintops and revealed God himself to him. And yet Peter then said, well, let's build a memorial to these folks, except he didn't want to do it for Jesus, the very man who was the Messiah. A spiritual high, a spiritual low. A common man, but yet qualified. And yes, it's the same Peter that denied Christ three times. And upon his death and following his resurrection, he came. And he did what? He reconciled with this young man. And he commissioned him to build his church. A spiritual high, a spiritual low. A common man, qualified to do the same. Those questions arose downstairs with different answers. That question had different answers when it arose because people questioned their own ability to be qualified. My friend in Richmond said, I just don't know if I'm the level of Christian you guys are. God meets us where we are. He sent His Son to save us. We're all on a different track. The beauty is we're on the same track. You're qualified to serve the Lord. In Scripture this morning, we learn from Matthew, a hated tax collector, and Peter, who denied Christ himself three times, we learn from both of these men, these common individuals, that you are qualified to be God's disciple. We learn from them that God uses human beings, common people, me and you, to do wonderful and special things. So back to the original question. Is this our church or His? We don't come here to serve ourselves. We come here to serve Him. This is His church. And all are welcome in it. Thus, we need to be like Matthew and Peter, imperfect in our own way, uncertain about our qualifications. We need to step outside of our tax collector booth. We need to step outside of the boat, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, and walk on the water with Him and serve this church. You need to stand up out of these pews and say yes to the call that you are called, and do not ever use the excuse you are not qualified or you're less of a Christian than someone else. You are not. Not in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Friends, if we do this, Jesus promised Peter in Scripture, if we do this, this is the very foundational spirit element that is built the church today that we worship in. The church will change lives. It goes back to our friend in Bible study that says, quit trying to change the church for yourselves. Use the church to change you. This is the movement. This is where we are. This is the life we live in. If we do these things, if we say yes to the call and don't worry about the qualification, you'll change lives. I've watched each of you do that in some form or fashion. Many times you're asked to do something in this ministry that you're really probably not all that good at, but you get it done and you make a difference. That's what God's calling you to do. Each of you are called by Jesus. Each of you are called by God, a regular, common human being to do special things. You have been qualified simply because He called you. Not because you've done the task asked of you, simply because He made the call. You are qualified to serve. Are you perfect? Absolutely not. Are you blessed? Absolutely. And thus, because you are blessed, you are qualified. It's time to stand up for Christ. It's time to get out of these pews and build this church. It's time to go out in this community and be evangelistic. It is time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ like no other time ever. Here we sit on unrested peace in Israel. It is now time to stand up for Jesus Christ. And the reason you should stand up for Jesus Christ this morning is because He laid down for you. Don't miss that message. He loves you. He's called you. Step up. Amen.